The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello, this is Demi Arsenault for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Discover. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the Winter 2026 issue of Discover. We'll begin today with an interesting article on our fossil record entitled Wings in Waste. Tiny scales preserved in fossilized poop suggest that butterflies evolved before the emergence of flowers. Interesting things hide in preserved dung. Besides offering clues about long gone vegetation, almost anything that gets trapped in ancient feces and survives gives us a glimpse into prehistoric life. One of the latest examples? The tiny treasures buried inside a piece of 236 million-year-old poop. It might not be as glamorous as a bug in amber, but this is dung fossil, likely left behind by a hippo-sized herbivore, contains the oldest physical evidence of butterflies ever found. Described in the Journal of South American Earth Sciences in May 2025, this fossil confirms that butterflies emerged much earlier than previously established, existing at least as long ago as the aftermath of the biggest extinction event in Earth's history. Roughly 252 million years ago, life on Earth came dangerously close to ending. The end Permian mass extinction wiped out around 90% of all species. As ecosystems rebuilt themselves in the Triassic, new groups of insects began to evolve, likely in response to the new plants that emerged. While genetic analyses have hinted that butterflies and moths, or the lepidopterans, emerged before the end Permian mass extinction and diversified into new forms afterwards, the oldest lepidopteran fossils date back to the Jurassic, around 201 million years ago. There was thus a gap of 51 million years or more in the fossil record, that is, until now. The evidence that has helped fill this gap came from an unlikely place. A deposit of fossilized poop in Talampaya National Park in Argentina. When excavations began there in 2011, the site was identified as a communal latrine, an area where plant-eating animals would repeatedly return to do their business. When researchers began inspecting one of the dung fossils under the microscope, they found something surprising: tiny ornate scales less than 200 microns long, and that's about the width of two human hairs, the kind typically found on butterfly wings. The structures were well preserved enough to place the lepidopterans squarely in the Triassic, around 35 million years earlier than previously proven, and at least as long ago as the aftermath of the end Permian mass extinction. They were also distinct enough to name a new species, the Ampateri eloisei. The implications go beyond just pushing back the timeline of butterflies. The researchers believe A. eloisei was a glossatin, a lepidopteran characterized by a proboscis, the long, tube-like tongue used by modern butterflies to suck up nectar from flowers. In the Triassic, however, forests consisted mostly of conifers and cycads, flowers that didn't even exist yet. These non-flowering plants secreted sugary droplets for pollination, tiny treats that would have been a perfect food source for early proboscis-bearing insects. That means that the butterfly's signature feeding structure likely evolved not for nectar, but for these ancient nectar alternatives. Based on this, the researchers estimate that the proboscis may have evolved between 260 million and 244 million years ago, likely after the end Permian mass extinction. The adaptation might have helped early butterflies thrive, allowing them to feed off non-flowering plants and setting the stage for a future partnership with flowers, which wouldn't appear until 100 million years later. While a full-body fossil would offer even clearer insight, these minuscule scales are an important piece of the evolutionary puzzle. Not only do they suggest that the lepidopterans are older than previous fossils seem to suggest, they also show how life bounced back after Earth's worst ever extinction, slowly transforming into the vibrant ecosystems we see today. And that from Jenny Lehman. Moving on, our next article is Hello Vera. After decades of planning, the Vera C. Rubin Observatory opened its eyes on the cosmos. Over the next 10 years, it will create a detailed three-dimensional map of space. In June 2025, astronomers unveiled the first images captured by the Vera C. Rubin Observatory, an optical telescope on a remote mountaintop in Chile that will produce an unprecedented view of the cosmos. The debut visual, stitched together from more than 1,000 images, showed a tapestry of millions of distant bright stars and colorful galaxies, as well as more than 2,000 newly discovered asteroids glowing against the black backdrop of the night sky. Most of these objects have never been seen by people before, said project scientist Zelichko Ivezik, an astrophysicist at the University of Washington, at the image reveal in Washington, D.C. The Rubin Observatory is the greatest astronomical discovery machine ever built. And Vera has only just begun. Over the next 10 years, using a 27-foot-wide optical telescope and the largest astronomical camera ever built, the Rubin Observatory will image the entire southern sky every 3 nights through repeated 30-second exposures. The planned result? A sprawling three-dimensional map of the cosmos revealed in sharp detail. It's going to provide a very uniform data set that lets us see distant and very faint galaxies over basically the entire visible southern sky, said Rachel Mandelbaum, an astrophysicist at Carnegie Mellon University, who has been helping develop software that astronomers can use to process Rubin data. Because it will turn to the same cosmic neighborhoods 1,000 times over a decade, the camera will generate time-lapse series of quickly changing phenomena like supernovas and black hole emissions. Ivezik says it will be the greatest movie of all time. Scientists first began discussing the telescope, which cost $800 million to build, close to 30 years ago. It was originally called the Large Synoptic Survey Telescope, or LSST, but in 2019, the U.S. Congress changed the name to honor astronomer Vera C. Rubin, whose work opened a new window on how scientists study the cosmos. From observations made with collaborator Kent Ford in the 1960s and 70s, Rubin observed that the outer stars and spiral galaxies moved just as fast as those in the interior, even though physical laws predict they should be moving slower. Her work provided experimental evidence for the existence of undetected mass, now known as dark matter, that was first hypothesized by Fritz Zwicky in the 1930s. Dark matter could explain the anomalous observation. Astronomers now estimate that dark matter constitutes 80% of the matter in the universe, though despite decades of searching, it has remained undetected. Understanding the nature and effects of dark matter is among the scientific goals of the new telescope. So is probing dark energy, an invisible mystery woven into the fabric of space that drives the expansion of the whole universe. Astronomers will also use Rubin's maps to catalog residents of the solar system and search for unknown ones, for example, like Planet 9, a hypothesized giant that may be lurking far beyond Neptune. The scientific questions that drove the design of the Rubin Observatory, Mandelbaum says, have gone unanswered for decades. The new telescope offers a way forward. Compared to what was available in previous sky surveys, it's both an increase in area and in depth, she says. We can survey a much larger volume of the universe. Authored by Stephen Orns. And I would like to apologize for any Latin names or scientific names that I mispronounce. In our next article, The Colossal, The Cannibal, and The Mythical. Our world is full of wonderfully weird creatures like a half-ton squid, a caterpillar clad in bones, and an elusive mammal likened to a unicorn. A colossal discovery. In March of 2025, researchers aboard the Schmidt Ocean Institute's research vessel, Falkor, captured footage of a juvenile colossal squid, the Mesonychotoithes hamiltoni. alive in its natural habitat for the very first time. While a few dead adult specimens have been retrieved in the past, verified sightings of live colossal squids were virtually unheard of until now. Based on available evidence, these deep-sea giants have been said to reach lengths of up to 23 feet from the mantle to the tip of their tentacles and weigh nearly half a ton, around 1,000 pounds. The massive size isn't their only claim to fame. Colossal squids also have the largest eyes in the animal kingdom, about the size of basketballs. These enormous eyes help them navigate the pitch-black waters of the deep sea and spot their main known predator, the sperm whale. At a depth of nearly 2,000 feet near the South Sandwich Islands in the South Atlantic, a remotely operated vehicle named Subastian recorded the groundbreaking footage, a 12-inch-long transparent juvenile squid calmly gliding through the inky ocean. For 100 years, we have mainly encountered them as prey remains in whale and seabird stomachs and as predators of harvested toothfish, said Kat Bolstad, a cephalopod expert who helped identify the species in a statement. It's exciting to see the first in situ footage of a juvenile colossal and humbling to think that they have no idea that humans even exist. From Jenny Lehman. A bone-chilling caterpillar. It sounds like a setup for a horror movie. A meat-eating, cannibalistic caterpillar hiding in the shadows of a spider web and dressed in the remains of its former prey. But this incredible species, dubbed the bone collector, is real and living in a small section of forest on the island of Oahu in Hawaii. According to a science study published in April 2025, this new caterpillar species is part of the moth genus Hyposmacoma, an ancient and diverse group only found in Hawaii. The species itself is estimated to be at least 6 million years old and is extremely rare, with only 62 individuals having been observed in the field over the past 20 years. The bone collector is a predatory, opportunistic scavenger that dines on insects caught and weakened in spider webs, even sometimes stealing and eating the spider's stored food. If they are unable to subsist on other insects, the caterpillar will resort to cannibalizing one of its own. The bone collector name comes from the fact that caterpillars cover themselves and their silk casing in inedible insect parts. These parts are either collected leftovers from their latest meal or pieces from spiders who formerly called their shared web home. The macabre camouflage is partly responsible for why researchers have taken 20 years to describe the species. In the beginning, they believed it was a coincidence that these caterpillars were covered in bug bits, assuming it was just a hazard of living in the spider webs. However, after years of observation, the researchers are confident that this behavior is not accidental, meaning they had, in fact, discovered a new species. Thanks to their camouflage ability, the caterpillars hide from the spiders they live with, while their habitat also helps them hide from human sight. The way I describe the habitat is places you wouldn't want to reach your hand into, like a tree hole or a rotted log, or under a rock, says study author Dan Rubinoff, an entomologist at the University of Hawaii at Manoa. They are dark places. The caterpillar eventually ditches its bony garments upon undergoing metamorphosis, emerging as a small moth that flaunts a brown and white pattern on its wings. Currently, the bone collector caterpillar survives in only a small 6-mile square patch of mountain forest, putting the species at risk of extinction. Since carnivorous caterpillars are extremely rare, making up only 0.1% of the nearly 200,000 known moth and butterfly species, protecting the bone collector through conservation efforts will be a critical undertaking moving forward. From Stephanie Evans. Searching for a real-life unicorn. The Sayola, also known as the Asian unicorn, has a somewhat mythic reputation. Scientists first became aware of it in 1992, making it the most recently discovered large land mammal. Even after its discovery, it remained elusive and hasn't been seen in the wild in over 10 years. The most optimistic estimates surmise that there may be fewer than 100 individuals left roaming around the forested Annamite Range in Vietnam and Laos. The hope of finding the Sayola, the Pseudorix ningentensis, has recently gained momentum thanks to a new breakthrough in genetic analysis made possible by the first ever mapping of the Sayola's genome. Until now, there has been very little genetic data available for the Sayola. An international study published in Cell in June of 2025 changed that by releasing the results of a Sayola genome mapping project. The research team was able to generate complete genomes for 26 Sayolas using fragmented remains. This analysis gave researchers brand new insights into the Sayola's past and future. One of the most unexpected findings was that the Sayola is split into two genetically different populations. The researchers estimate that the split had to have happened 20,000 to 5,000 years ago. There are also indications that both populations have been steadily declining since the last ice age, with the total Sayola population on Earth never growing beyond 5,000 individuals over the last 10,000 years. The simultaneous decline suggests that both populations have lost their genetic diversity over time. This may sound like bad news, but the genetic analysis also uncovered another important detail. Each population did not lose the same thing. This means that the genetic variation lost in each population complements the other, said lead author Janice Garcia Errol, a researcher at Aarhus University in Denmark, in a statement. So if you mix them, they could compensate for what the other is missing. Based on the conservation models run by the research team, the best chance for the Sayola survival is to mix the two different populations in a captive breeding program. Finding enough Sayolas to take part in the mixing, however, is proving to be difficult. Even if the worst-case scenario turns out to be true and the Sayolas are already extinct, the genetic analysis still could prove useful since the genome could contribute to de-extinction efforts. And there's a footnote. Since its discovery in 1992, the Sayola has only been seen sparingly in camera trap photographs. The last time one was spotted in the wild was 2013. Meanwhile, the endangered bone collector caterpillar also has a history of evading scientists thanks to its camouflaged getup and perfect hiding spots. And that from Stephanie Edwards. And next we have the gut microbiome, health's Swiss Army knife. From fighting cancer to easing anxiety and protecting your liver, here's what 2025 research revealed about the powerful microbes within us. Each one of us has a unique gut microbiome. This mini ecosystem, mainly in the large intestine, houses trillions of microscopic organisms, including bacteria, fungi, viruses, and other microbes, which not only aid in digestion and nutrient production, but also support brain function, improve immune response, and lower disease risk. The gut microbiome has received an increasing amount of attention over the past decade, and 2025 was no exception. Researchers continue to reveal just how deeply these microbes shape our health, expanding our understanding of the benefits that a balanced microbiome brings. Here, the Discover team highlights some of the past year's most intriguing findings, from the microbiome's role in cancer diagnosis and treatment to its connections to the brain and its support for other organs in the body. Microbes tell on pancreatic cancer. Although pancreatic cancer only accounts for 8% of cancer deaths, its global death rate is expected to double over the next 40 years. These troubling statistics are worsened by the fact that early diagnosis and treatment of pancreatic cancer is notoriously difficult to achieve. A new study published in April 2025 in Gut Pathogens suggests that the key to early detection may be found internally within the gut microbiome. Analyzing the gut bacteria of over 180 people in Iran and Finland, the study authors found that patients with pancreatic cancer share similar gut microbiome patterns, regardless of geographic location or ethnicity. Particularly prominent was the decrease in Clostridia bacteria among the cancer patients. These bacteria are generally beneficial, and previous research has linked them to boosting immune response against tumors. These results could suggest that screening for specific gut microbes could become a non-invasive approach for cancer detection. There's even the possibility that probiotics containing beneficial bacteria could be used alongside chemotherapy to create more effective treatments for pancreatic cancer. From Stephanie Edwards. Microbiome turns bile against tumors. Another study, this time Cell from April 2025, found that the microbiome can turn bile acids into immune-boosting compounds that can help the body fight cancer. Produced in the liver and released into the gut after eating, bile acids are metabolites that are mostly known for breaking down dietary fats and absorbing fat-soluble vitamins, but they also interact with the gut microbiome. Once bile acids reach the gut, microbes turn them into new metabolites. Looking inside the gut microbiomes of mice, researchers discovered over 50 new types of modified bile acids, many of which resemble hormones like testosterone and estrogen, raising questions about whether they could interact with hormone receptors. When tested, one new metabolite was able to block androgen receptors, which are found in immune cells. In mice with bladder cancer, treatment with this modified bile acid blocked these receptors and boosted the activity of immune cells, suppressing tumor growth. These findings suggest a future pathway for improving cancer treatment by reshaping a patient's microbiome with a beneficial bacteria delivering the bile acid directly to metabolites that enhance immune response. This study highlights the profound and evolving partnership between the human host and its gut microbiota, emphasizing the importance of integrating microbial activity into future cancer therapies, said study author David Artis, a professor at Weill Cornell Medicine, in a news release. From Jenny Lehman. No germs, more anxiety. Published in February 2025 in the EMBO Molecular Medicine, another study linked microbial metabolites to anxiety regulation, potentially paving the way for probiotic-based treatments for anxiety disorders. Working with the gut-brain connection in mice, researchers found that animals raised in germ-free environments showed increased anxiety-like behaviors. But when the researchers exposed the mice to live microbes through fecal transplantation, the results were striking. The mice's previously overactive neurons became less excitable, and the animals showed less anxiety. Essentially, the lack of these microbes disrupted the way their brains functioned, particularly in areas controlling fear and anxiety, leading to anxious behavior, said Sean Jay, a study author and professor from Duke NUS Medical School, in a press release. The study suggests that indoles, which are microbial metabolites that are structurally related to serotonin, play a crucial role in this gut-brain interaction. Capable of crossing the blood-brain barrier, these metabolites directly affect brain function. Since anxiety disorders are among the most common mental health conditions, and since many patients struggle with side effects from standard psychiatric medications, indole-based probiotics or supplements could become a natural alternative for managing anxiety. From Jenny Lehman. Gut fungus heals livers. The gut microbiome isn't just bacteria. It also includes fungi, and new research suggests that these fungal residents could transform the way that we treat serious diseases. According to a May 2025 study in Science, a common gut fungus could help reverse fatty liver disease, a condition that affects about a third of the world's adult population due to rising obesity, type 2 diabetes, and high blood sugar levels. Fatty liver disease occurs when fat builds up in the liver, causing inflammation and potentially leading to liver failure. Despite how common it is, treatment options remain limited, pushing scientists to look in new places, including the gut, for possible solutions. Isolating 161 fungal species from human stool samples across China, the authors of the study found one fungus, Fusarium foetens, that appeared frequently. They then tested this species in a mouse model of liver disease and found that treatment with F. foetens led to significant health improvements. The team traced this effect to a compound secreted by the fungus called FFC1, which helped restore liver health. The microscopic metabolite achieved what many pharmaceuticals have struggled to do, reverse fatty liver disease progression. These findings highlight the fungal microbiome as a vast, largely unexplored resource for potential therapies, not just for the liver, but for the body as a whole. And finally, echidna out of water. A single fossil may tell us if the echidna is an evolutionary anomaly, starting in water, then transitioning to land. Scientists have long thought that the ancestors of the modern monotremes, the egg-laying mammals that today include the platypus and the echidna, lived on land. While one population of these ancestors took on a semi-aquatic lifestyle, eventually evolving into the platypus, the other maintained a terrestrial life, transforming into the echidna, or so the traditional thinking went. But analysis of bone found 30 years ago may mean the scientists have gotten the evolutionary origins of the monotremes backwards. The bone, a single humerus, suggested that modern monotremes evolved from a semi-aquatic ancestor, not a terrestrial one. If the analysis, published in the Proceedings of National Academy of Scientists in April 2025, proves true, the echidna would provide a rare example of a mammal moving from water to land. While many mammals, including whales, dolphins, dugongs, seals, walruses, otters, and beavers, have made the transition from land to water, the alternative is virtually unheard of. We're talking about a semi-aquatic mammal that gave up the water for a terrestrial existence, said study author Suzanne Hand, a paleontologist at the University of New South Wales, in a statement released with the research. While that would be an extremely rare event, we think that is what happened with the echidnas. And we're going to have to truncate that particular article for the sake of time, but I will reemphasize, while many mammals, including whales, dolphins, dugongs, seals, walruses, otters, and beavers, have transitioned from land to water, going the other way is virtually unheard of. So very cool finding there. And unfortunately, we have run out of time for today's episode of Discover. We hope you've enjoyed listening. Please join us next time. I'm Demi Arsenault for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Discover is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. And again, that number is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service, and have a great day.